That's the line from the movie "Stupid Is as Stupid Does." I think is the line, right?
I've been saying it all morning.
What was the movie
about?
I
could even say it in southern vernacular too.
Yeah, it was one of the funny movies of all time. Oh my! Well, yes, indeed. It's astonishing just how stupid a person who has had that much religious training can be, with the Roman Catholic Church making one blunder after another with regard to Yod Heh Wah Heh and Yahweh's name. It begs the question: is it really stupidity?
No.
Or is it deliberate deceit?
I think it's. I keep telling you in the breaks, but I think it's something that needs to be said. I mean, this is a institution, an organization that uses a dead language, Latin.
Right.
Everything that they do
That's
is
true.
Based around Latin, which is a dead language. There's nobody that speaks Latin. There's no country that uses Latin as its primary language.
Correct.
And they're saying that they can't translate something that's Hebrew in Hebrew, which is a language that is actually used today.
Right.
It's alive. It's vibrant. It's you know.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's something that you can use when you go out in the world.
IQ just came back from Israel. It's one of the most vibrant, best, most well-educated, most exciting countries in the world to visit. And they speak Hebrew. It is their language. And they don't have any problem pronouncing the Yod, the Hey, or the Wah. They know that they actually know the name of their country is Yisrael. They actually know that how to pronounce the Hebrew word for reconciliation leading to peace as Shalom. And in Yisrael and Shalom, every letter in Yahweh's name, you know, is available for you to understand as it is. I mean, they will use the verb haya in their normal conversation. They're rather fond, and they tell people to observe the Torah. Oh, I mean, these words would all be unpronounceable if you could not pronounce the Yod, the Hey, or the Wah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this lie is just so ridiculous at the surface. It's a wonder.
Now, Baal is
how many
Hebrew,
people
right?
are.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Pardon?
No, I said Baal is Hebrew.
Yeah. And yeah, it's
Adonai is Greek, my Lord, right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and Lord is Anglo-Saxon. And there's no Yahweh anywhere in there, so I don't get it. I mean, so
I
why would
it.
You choose that? Why would you choose that as a name if you're not trying to be deceptive or you're not trying to set up a kingdom that you rule by prophecy?
That's why the Jews did it. Mm-hmm. You know, Rabbinic Judaism eliminated Yahweh's name because they didn't want God in competition with them. A God who is unknowable is a God that they can control. They can shape an unknowable God into whatever image they want. Roman Catholics shaped their unknowable God into the image of the Roman and Greek religions. That's why they do it. People are easier to control that way. Well, speaking of being lost, you know, this was this Christian thing we were reading yesterday. It says there are two prominent people in the Bible named Saul. There is no Bible, and the name is actually Shaul, and one of them is not prominent. One is, but one is a prophecy regarding the other, and they figured that out. They just couldn't figure out how the prophecy worked. One was the first king of the land of Israel. The other was the first century evangelist whose name was later changed to Paul. No, his name was not later changed to Paul. Before he was ever known as a Christian author, when he wrote his first letter, when he was called to the Jerusalem summit, when we first know of him, he had already changed his name. It wasn't changed. He changed it. And he changed it to be the living embodiment of the prophecy about him. Yosha saying, I come in my Father's name and you do not accept me. But one will come in his own name, and him you will accept. Shaul, the first king, was the king was the first king of Israel. He was the son of Kish of the tribe of Benjamin, as was the second Shaul. He became king about this time that Shamuel had retired as the last judge of Israel. Although the land of Israel didn't, by the way, it doesn't sound like Shamuel was retired to me. By the way, and of course, we should acknowledge that since the Roman Catholics want to remove Yahweh's name, that Shamuel means the name of God. that's what the word means. That he had retired. He was very active with Yahweh, so I don't think he had retired. Although the land of Israel had been ruled by judges, it was only the Israelites were being led by Yahweh. All the judges did is they ruled on interhuman disputes in accordance with the Torah. So the people were clamoring to have a king like other nations. Yeah, why not have a king like other nations? Let's have a government like other nations. Let's have an economy like other nations. Let's have a religion like other nations. Let's have gods like other nations. Isn't that what they were clamoring for?
That's it.
That's what we have, too.
That's what we do, yeah.
That's what we have the world over. So the people were clamoring to have gods for other nations. The people were clamoring to have a king like other nations. Shamuel asked this as the Lord. No, he didn't. He asked Yahweh for advice. We read the passage yesterday. And Yahweh directed Shamuel to Saul and to anoint him as the first king. They missed the entire eighth chapter, didn't they?
Mm-hmm. Pretty plain. And that's a big one to miss.
Wow. Yeah, because with the eighth chapter, it doesn't say that that it doesn't go from here's the people clamoring for a king to God appointing Shamuel. Appointing Shaul. Oh. It has an entire chapter that says things like, but such a thing was displeasing in the sight of Shamuel. And they said, when they said, give us a king, so Shamuel prayed to Yahweh. And Yahweh said to Shamuel, listen to the voice of the people in regard to what they are saying to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me. Like all of the deeds which have been done since the day that I brought them up from Egypt, from the crucible, even to this day, and that they have forsaken me. They have estranged themselves from me. They have alienated themselves from me and served other gods. And so they are doing this to you also.
Mm-hmm.
That's the, you know, when we're part of the covenant family and somebody is advancing a false notion like Roman Catholicism with all of the lies regarding Yahweh's name,
mm-hmm.
that's not just an offense against Yahweh.
No, it's against all of us.
Yeah, all of us that are part of the covenant.
It's rejecting everything about it.
Right. It's rejecting our name. It's not only the name of Yahweh. Yeah. It's rejecting everything that we stand for, that we are.
Mm-hmm.
So he's telling Shamuel that, you know, the man whose name means the name of God, he was telling them that by rejecting, Yahweh was telling them, by rejecting me, they are rejecting you also. Now, do you think it's appropriate under that circumstance? Maybe one of the most important statements in the entirety of the writings. When Yahweh was saying that they are rejecting you also, having rejected me, that maybe the name Shamuel is important in that regard?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What are they rejecting about him? The name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly what Roman Catholics are doing today.
I don't know how
he goes on to say.
I don't know how they pull that off in a modern era when anybody could look up the name. I mean, every lexicon, every dictionary I have, you look up Lord and it says Yahweh.
Yeah, everyone. Everyone, every time you look up Yod Heh Wah Heh, it will first give homage to the religious lie, and then every one of them has the common denominator.
Mm-hmm.
It's a replacement for Yod Heh Wah Heh. And then you can look up, you know, it doesn't take a long time. You know how I came to to know that Yod-Heh-Wah-Heh was pronounced Yahweh?
You just, because that's the way everything else is pronounced.
Yeah. What I did is I took several days. That might be a very long time when it comes to knowing God's name. And I looked up every Hebrew word with a yod, with a hey, and with a wah in it. Looked them all up. Every single one. I systematically went through the entire lexicon of the Hebrew language. And I isolated words that I knew by the propensity of them to continue to be used throughout time were the most relevant.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at names in particular that would be extraordinarily telling, for which there was no other way to interpret the information that they were conveying. So I looked at every single Hebrew word, and I found with the yod, the y, that there is never a variation. It's always pronounced like the English y.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there was never a variation there. And I learned that with the hey, that when it comes at the end of the word, it's always ah. 99.9% of the time, which is to say that it's only human corruption that might have changed it at the end, but it's always ah. So the Y sound at the beginning and the ah sound at the end were certain. Then I looked at haze in the middle of the word, and it was about 98% of the time that you find a hey in the middle of the word, it's pronounced ah. So what do you think the likelihood of Yahweh making an exception of the hey in the middle of his name, particularly when he says, my name is based on the Hebrew verb haya?
Mm-hmm. Impossible. In my thinking.
It's you're being preposterous to think that one hey is going to be pronounced different than the other hey, when 99% of the time they're pronounced the same. And Yahweh based his name on the verb haya, telling us how to pronounce it. And then I looked up the wall, and maybe about 10% of the time, maybe 15% of the time, a wah is pronounced as a U, particularly the double U, which is how we get the name of our letter, by the way. The W is pronounced as a U. And you look up, by the way, W's in English, and you'd be shocked with the number of words in English with a W that also include as the vowel sound the O. And what I found is about 85% of Hebrew words with a wah were pronounced O. And we'll be back. So the only letter, Kirk, that has any chance of being pronounced differently would be the Wah. Is it Yahuwah or Yahuwah? I mean, that would really be that's the only possibility. There's 15% chance before we consider another two tracks of study.
Yeah.
But just on the surface of it, in terms of propensity, you've got 100% with the Wah. You've got 99% with the Hay. And the 99% is then taken to 100% when Yahweh tells us, oh, by the way, it's based on Haya. And then you've got the Wah, which is the only letter now that can have any variation, because it's 85-15. So then I looked at names like Yoel and Job, and Yonah, and I began to look at, there's like 50 names that in English are now pronounced J-O.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at the Hebrew, and in the Hebrew they're Yod-Heh-Wah. It's a shortened form of Yao, the first three syllables of Yahweh's name.
Yeah.
And you've got 50 names, and there's not a single one of them that are pronounced today Yub or
no.
Uob, or just Yub, I guess.
Yeah.
Uel, as opposed to Yoel. No. Yahweh is God. So when I looked at these 50 names that come back to us with the Y and the O sound, it's obvious that it can't be a U, because not a single one of them conveys the U.
Yeah. You know, the second sound, there's about seven letters that have, five of them, of course, are the vowels, and there's two of them that are, mm-hmm. that have a secondary pronunciation, and they're all, and just, I think if you go through all of them, and I haven't done all of them, but if you go through all of them, just from my limited, study, the secondary, sound is almost, it's rarely used.
Correct.
So,
yeah, no, it's yeah. On the first two letters, you're at 100% and 99%, and on the third letter, the wa, you're at 85%, and that 85% then is eliminated in favor of the 15 by all of the names that are use the o sound, Yoel, Yob. Yeah, then I looked at okay, let's look at the words with a wa in them. Mm-hmm. That are the most commonly spoken today. Hebrew's a living language. So what is the single most repeated Hebrew word today? How do all Jews greet themselves? Shalom.
Shalom.
So look up how shalom is written, and you find that the O sound comes from a wa.
Mm-hmm.
And then what's the second most commonly spoken Hebrew word today? Second best known Hebrew word. How about Torah?
Torah, of course, yeah.
Yeah. Is Torah, does it have a wa in it or not?
I think so.
Yeah. And so you've got Yahweh telling us that I've got a book called Teaching and Instruction, and in the book called Teaching and Instruction, he tells you how to pronounce the wa and the hey.
Mm-hmm.
Torah. So I've got Shalom, the most commonly spoken Hebrew word, and Yahweh's book of teaching called Torah. And then you think of, okay, from a negative sense, what's a word that they would never have corrupted that Jews love to use? Goy and Goyim for Gentile and Gentiles.
Yeah, that's
from a law. How about everybody knows that El is from Eloah.
Mm-hmm.
And that Elohim is a contracted plural form of Eloah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, where do you think the wa sound comes from in Eloah?
Well, I think it's the same place.
Yeah, same place. So it becomes obvious that that this is how these letters are pronounced. You get 100%, 100%, and 100% going across the spectrum of the three letters that comprise the four in Yahweh's name. So any argument that they can't be pronounced is resolvable by anybody, no matter their level of study or understanding, by devoting the time to the same exercise I engaged in. And if there's something else you can use, I'm open to it, but that's good enough for me.
Yeah. Well, if you put Yahweh in there, you might get a little more activity on a search engine, but I don't think that's a good enough reason to do it more than just to mention it. So the search engine would probably still find it. I don't know how those things work, but I assume they work that way.
Yeah, I don't think since Yahweh refers to himself as Yah and as Yahoh,
mm-hmm.
And since there are 200 plus Hebrew names that use a contracted form of his name is in their name, like Yasha Ya'u, Yirma Ya'u, I don't think Yahweh has a problem with us referring to him as Yahweh. So here's Yahweh telling the man whose name means name of God,
mm-hmm.
listen to the people with regard to what they say, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me.
Mm-hmm.
And like all the deeds which they have done, from the very day that I brought them up from the crucible, out of religion and politics, out of enslavement, out of military control, have I liberated them from slavery? They have forsaken me. And they have served other gods. And so they are doing this to you also.
So outside of a court, a honest court system, what does the mm-hmm. society need with a government? They don't need an army.
Yeah, well, right.
If Yahweh gave them a court system, you don't need an army. Yeah.
Right. That's right. Yeah, Yahweh gave them a judicial system to make decisions between individuals, so they have that. But yeah, well, didn't Hezekiah demonstrate that even if every city in Israel had been pummeled by the Assyrians, when the Assyrians brought 185,000 of the
veterans,
best trained, best equipped warriors in the world, surrounding their town, that they didn't need an army? Was there even a hint of an army engaging on behalf of Israel, on behalf of Jerusalem, on behalf of Yehuda, when the Assyrians came with 185,000 troops to destroy them?
Not a one.
Not a one.
I mean, the temple guards don't count.
Yeah.
They're hardly a match.
Yeah, Yahweh simply eliminated the enemy because they were all busy celebrating Pesach and Matzah and Bukurim.
They didn't have a treasure.
They were busy. Yeah, they were too busy partying with God to be bothered with such stuff. So, you know, God just eliminated them all, killed them all. So you don't need an army. Now, Yahweh has an economic system. He describes his economic system in the Torah. It's an amazing system. Yeah, well, no, it doesn't come with a central bank. It doesn't come with any taxation. It doesn't come with any entitlements. It comes with a system whereby people have private ownership and people have free enterprise. And all Yahweh says is that because each person really should earn their opportunity on their own, but yet fathers ought to be able to take care of their children. It's just that it ought not be creating dynasties of wealthy individuals. You know, I had a 50-year, 7 times 7 plus 1 plan. And, you know, you could amass whatever you could amass, monetarily and property, over 50 years. But that was it. You know, all loans had to be forgiven every 50 years. All slaves, which was the means of production, had to be freed. And the land that you had accumulated goes back to Yahweh. So it was a complete way of allowing individuals to achieve free will, free enterprise, you know, self-betterment of particularly improvement of their families, to strive for on behalf of their families to model the covenant, but yet with the playing field leveled every 50 years.
Well, even the charities, you would have to go gather it yourself.
Yeah,
interesting to me.
Right, the charity in it was exactly as I've described that we needed to make America, which is you don't get a check, you don't get money, you don't even have a food bank. There's no homeless shelter. There's no government subsidy for any of these things. There's no Social Security. There's no Medicaid. There's no Medicare. What Yahweh has instead is you're hungry. The farmers are going to leave a corner of their field. Go harvest the food yourself and then prepare it yourself. You know, you need shelter. There'll be wood brought to the storehouse. Build it. Go get it and build it. You need clothing, there'll be wool brought to the storehouse. Go weave your own clothes. That was his plan. It's a marvelous plan. But they chose not that. They chose instead the big government plan. They chose the plan of Paul, submit to your government. That's what they wanted. They wanted to submit to a king. It's just like Romans 13, submit to your government. That's what they got. So Yahweh delineates the hell they were bringing on themselves. He says, now listen to the verse. However, you shall solemnly warn them. Isn't half of the Torah a warning to us?
Mm-hmm.
Half the Torah is an invitation to us. The other half's a warning.
Yes, cause and consequence.
Right. It's how we should parent. So he said, warn them of the process that they will be brought to bear by the king who will reign over them. So Samuel spoke all these words of Yahweh to the people who had asked for a king. And they said, this will be the process of a king who will reign over us. And he will take your sons and he will place them for himself in his chariots and among his horsemen, and they will run before his chariots. He will draft them into an army. He's not going to ask you if you want them to go. He's not going to ask for permission. He's just going to draft them. He'll kill them if they don't agree to die militarily for him. He will appoint himself for himself commanders in the thousands and fifties. And they shall do his plowing, and they shall reap his harvest. And they will make his weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. Boy, it's just like we have in the United States.
We have an industrial complex. It drains us.
Yeah. All right. Making the chariots and a military and the millionfold, all doing the government's business. And he will take your daughters for perfumers and for cooks and bakers. And he will take the best of your fields and your vineyards and your olive groves, and he will give them to his servants. Wealth redistribution with him at the center. And he will take a tenth of your seed and your vineyards. Now all of a sudden there is a tax. And he will give it to his officers, to his politicians, and to his generals, and to his servants, those who have submitted to him. And he will take your male servants and your female servants, your means of production and the best men, and your best donkeys, and he will use them for his work. That's the means of production. And he will take a tenth from your flocks and from yourselves, and you yourselves will become his servants. Well, it sounds like Roman Catholicism with Theodosius' creation of the Lord's serf.
Lord's
feudalism.
Absolutely.
Yeah. This is fascism. This is feudalism. This is exactly what Roman Catholicism brought on the world for the better part of 2,000 years.
So if you don't change God's name to Lord, then this would make absolutely horrible. I mean, it would be very obvious when he says he's going to make you a lord. He's going to be a lord over you. I mean, if you do the English translation and ask Samuel to all the words to the Lord, you know, and then he talks about a lord, then it doesn't have the context. But when you have Yahweh, who is not Lord and doesn't want to be called a Lord, a Father, but if you said, if Yahweh, your Father, and then he follows it with a lord over you, then it's very apparent that this is a horrible choice. But
yeah. That's the choice. I mean, that's what he's saying. They rejected me as father, but they're going to choose for themselves a lord.
Lord.
Because with lords, you have servants. And he says, you, all of Israel, are going to become the servant of this lord.
So what is
just like all Americans serve their government one way or another. You give them your money. You give them your loyalty. You give them your support. You fund the army. You fund the economy. You fund their wealth redistribution schemes. This is exactly what we as humans have become.
So why doesn't this resonate with people?
I don't know. You know, patriotism runs deep. Indoctrination runs deep. Propaganda runs deep. It's extraordinarily popular to deceive.
But in a system that's so broken as ours, what is it? What is holding everybody back? Just fear?
Yeah. And then you will cry out in that day. Because of your king, whom you have chosen.
Mm.
It's just like the president, whom you voted for. You're going to cry out because of the president that you have voted for, that you have chosen for yourselves. But Yahweh will not answer you in that day. This notion that, you know, God does not hear the prayers of those who have rejected him. It just doesn't. He's not going to. Don't bellyache to God. You made your choice. You made your bed.
You walked away.
Nevertheless, the people refused to listen to the voice of Shamuel, and they said, "No, but there shall be a king over us." You know, it's you and I would say that we have chosen our government. We have chosen to be patriotic. Not we, but most people have. We've chosen to ascribe to a particular economic scheme, whatever it may be, liberal wealth redistribution or conservative laissez-faire capitalism, that we've chosen these things and we've chosen our religion. And this infers that these people did it knowingly. They said, we don't give a damn what God said. We didn't listen to you. We don't care what God said. All we care about is what we want. This is what we want.
And they have the Torah right in their face every day.
Every day. We don't care. We're not going to listen to you. I don't care if you're speaking for God. We're not going to listen to you. We want what we want. Free will and all. Okay. There shall be a king over us, and that we may be like other nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles.
Yeah, well, that ain't going to happen.
Yeah, they don't do that much anymore, do they?
No.
And now after Shamuel had heard all of these words of the people, he repeated them in Yahweh's hearing. He said, all right, Yahweh told me that I needed to warn you. I warned you. You didn't listen to me. Now, with Yahweh present among us, I'm going to repeat them again. And Yahweh said to Shamuel, listen to their voice and appoint for them a king. So Shamuel said to the men of Yisrael, go every man to his city. Now there was a man of Benjamin. Oh my.
That's familiar.
Yeah. His father was Kish. His name was Shaul. There was another Benjamin named Shaul too, wasn't there?
Uh-huh.
And the people chose him over the word of Yahweh. Yosha they rejected. Paul they chose. His name too, a Benjamite, Shaul. So if we return to this, the Christian synopsis of what they've missed in the prophecy, and they missed it all because it was a rejection of Yahweh that led to the choice of Shaul, just as it would be later, 1,000 years later, when a rejection of Yosha would lead to the acceptance of another Shaul.
Right.
So this just says that Shaul and his army and a miracle from God defeated the Philistines in the first battle. Yeah, yeah. Well, they said, you know, they're still my children. I know they've rejected me.
Yeah.
And they're estranged from me, but they're still my children, and I'm not going to allow Yisrael to be destroyed. Now, why do you think that Yahweh decided that he would initially work with this disgusting man?
I'm not totally sure, but I know one thing. If he would go down and save Lot out of a city, he's hardly going to let him destroy Jerusalem just yet. All of them are against him.
Yeah, so, you're pretty close. I think the reason is that Yahweh made promises to Abraham that he fully intends to uphold. He told Abraham that his children would ultimately separate themselves from us. He told Hosha that this would occur. And he says, but you know, I'm going to reconcile my relationship. And that he said that he's going to return to Yisrael. And that ultimately in his Torah, it's a reconciliation of the covenant relationship with Yisrael and with Yahudah. And so if Yahweh were to allow the Philistines to destroy them, if he just send back and let the Philistines destroy them, then there's no way that he can fulfill his promises. So God was in a difficult spot. He had to protect the people, even though the people had rejected him, at least up to the point of the of Yisrael surviving. He can't impose himself, but he has to engage to for Yisrael to survive.
So correct me if I'm wrong. We got four things working now. Just as a quick in between, they're both sharing the same name. They're both from the same tribe.
Mm-hmm.
They're both the people's choice, and they both positioned themselves against Yahweh's plan. So is that correct so far?
Yeah.
Did I miss anything?
Yeah, that to choose them, the people to choose them have to position themselves against Yahweh and his plan.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're...
Yeah. Now, that four things get you to two people in all of human history.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty
good. This guy and
right
Paul.
There. Yeah,
that's pretty it. So Shaul and his army, from the miracle of God, defeated the Philistines in their first battle. He then defeated Moab, Ammon, Edom, and the kings of Zobah and the Amalekites. However, Shaul did not observe the things of Yahweh. This says did not obey the Lord. And actually, when you read obey in an English text, it's not from the Hebrew word shamar. It's actually from the Hebrew word shama. And shama means to listen. So he did not listen to Yahweh. So, however, Shaul did not listen to Yahweh. Is there maybe another correction here? Did Paul listen to Yahweh?
Hardly.
No, so we have a fifth thing here. So, you know, when Christians say that, and this will say that Paul represented Jesus Christ, did he ever quote him?
Never quote him, never repeated it, anything, even in context.
Did he say it? Right. Never said, never quoted anything he said, and never accurately cited anything Yahweh said. Never. So, he's somebody that's sustained the same thing of the other Shaul. He did not listen to Yahweh. And he kept some of the loot after defeating the Amalekites. Now, he kept some of the loot. In other words, he pilfered.
Stole it.
Yeah, it's kind of like a Muhammad here. Kind of like, what did Paul do? Did Paul say, you know, I'm out here, I deserve to be paid?
Send money.
Yeah, he said, I took from one church and gave to another. Send money. Pilfered some of the loot. For this, Yahweh rejected Shaul as the king of Israel. For this, Yahweh rejected Paul. This is the Lord, and it's Yahweh. Had Shamuel anoint young Dodo, this says David, as the next king. Yeah, somebody that Yahweh liked. Yeah. Dodo wasn't special in the sense that we're told that Saul was tall and handsome.
Strong.
But Dodo was the most beautiful man who ever lived because he had the most beautiful mind. He focused on the Torah. He listened to Yahweh. And so Yahweh said, you know, why don't we establish a model of a ruler over Israel that likes me, that knows me. And let's see how that works. We'll be back tomorrow.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kirk. Thank you, Kirk.